My word, dude.
You need to go right now.
All right, good evening. We are now joined by the winner of tonight's Boys and Girls Club of the Blue Ridge 200. Daniel Hemrick, driver of the number 19 Gates Hydraulics Chevrolet. We will go straight to questions for our race winner. If you have any questions, please raise your hand. We will get a wireless microphone to you. We'll start in the back there with Jacob and then go to Bob.
Jacob Zielman, Race Face Digital. Daniel, two for you. First, you made about as little contact to get to the lead as anybody all night long. I think those of us expected that because of your driving style through the years, but were you nervous that there was going to be contact coming back to you in those final four laps?
Honestly, not really. I mean, obviously, I've also seen kind of the end of these races as a spectator. I'm about 10 rows up in the grandstands last fall and watched the end of this thing, so I want to be everything except for that. Obviously, as the intensity is ramping up, but guys were kind of taking care of themselves, you know, so it came down to, honestly, if I wanted anybody in front of me there or behind me, it was a teammate. You know, I felt like Tyler knew that he knew he was starting to struggle on entry, and I had an advantage on entry and roll in the middle, and try to give him try to be his biggest fan in that moment, but also know we're racing for a win. And hey, sweetheart, it's past her bedtime. She's like, go home.
I love you.
As the story goes, I know. So I tried to just bide my time behind him, but also didn't want anybody with fresh tires to get to us. I thought, you know, once I had an opportunity, he'd left the bottom. I just had to make sure that I did take advantage of it, but I thought I had enough of advantage of a truck at that point, though, to do it cleanly. And I knew our trucks are very similar as far as parts and pieces, and I knew how vulnerable my truck was in certain situations. And when he did get off the bottom a little bit, that was my opportunity. So, yeah, just I thought it's funny you asked that question as you were asking that. I was thinking back to series director Seth there talking about getting some respect within the series, and hopefully we proved that we can do it the right way. Obviously, everything that led up to that last start probably wasn't real pretty from my vantage point, but at least when they show back the replay of the finish of this thing, hopefully it shows clean racing.
You're a short track guy. What does a Martinsville grandfather clock going home mean to you, not just as a trophy in and of itself, but because this is your first NASCAR win period since the championship?
You know, for me, like I said, a short track guy, it's funny. I think back to 2013, getting my first truck start here, and everybody just says, oh, man, he's a short track guy. You know, he's going to love this place. I honestly didn't dislike any other racetrack more than this place. It really chewed me up, spit me out. Could never find what I wanted here, really, within every series. And I got to give my old crew chief, Dave Rogers, there at JGR in 2021, a lot of credit because we sat down preseason of 2021. And he's like, hey, I'm going to need you to help pick me up at this place, and this place. And he asked me, he's like, what's a weak link for you, a weak track, a weak, you know, and I just ultimately just said, man, Martinsville, like, I have no idea what I want there. Like, I can't find what I'm looking for. He made a point to me to say the first call or text I'm going to get after the race is me calling Dave saying how much I now enjoy Martinsville, and that's the first thing I did. He gave me what I wanted, gave me an idea of what I need to feel here, and I've really enjoyed being here at this place ever since. Yeah, super, super thankful to finally, you know, get that experience in 2021 here. I feel like every time I've come back here, I've known what I wanted. And listen, when you're jumping in the truck, the same chassis that's won the last two races here, there's not a whole lot of excuses. We weren't quite as good as they were probably the last two races, but we found the way. And that's what good race teams do, strong race teams do, and I'm just proud to be a part of it.
We'll go to Bob and then Matt.
Bob Hockers, Fox Sports. I have a couple. The first, over the last 50 laps, how much did you think you had a decent shot of winning? And was any of you just like, there goes another one?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, we were fourth to sixth place truck, really about a sixth to seventh place truck on short runs all night, and maybe second to fourth place truck on long runs. But yeah, the way we really couldn't get into too much of a long run, figured we were just going to have to maximize our day, and that was going to be a top five run. But like, I've seen Martinsville since I was a kid, and we've all witnessed it over the last couple of years. Like, you just got to keep yourself, you know, within the first three rows, within striking distance as these races are winding down. I just tried to not necessarily keep ourselves in it, just not take ourselves out of it. I promise you, as the leaders continued to kind of filter themselves out, and it, all of a sudden it was 18 leading and I was second, I thought to myself, I mean, how can I not choose the front row, right? But gosh, I felt good about the speed, and I really felt like the 38 was going to choose behind me on that last restart there, Bob, and he did. And I honestly, he knew I'd turn underneath him and drove by him pretty cleanly. So Chandler and I've raced together a lot. He gave me space, respected kind of what 18 and I were racing for there as the laps went on down. Once I knew I had to go head to head with 18, I felt like I liked our chances, I liked our odds, and about two laps after the restart, I felt like I had what I needed, just a matter of when.
And did you need to win to validate the decision to go racing in this series?
I don't know about validating the decision, but yeah, I mean, I came back here because I knew I could win. I knew this race team as an organization could win. But listen, at the end of the day, we're five races into an entire new group on this 19. Like, literally, the only people that are still the same from the same team that won races last year or last 2 years here is the spotter and the owner. It was cool to get my crew chief, Josh Graham, incredibly talented individual, his first win as a crew chief on top of any pit box. So really, it was just validating all of us, right? Validating his decision to come do this, validate my decision to come do this. I told Bill McAnally our first time we sat down together that one of my selfish main goals was that, you know, my wife and I have stood in victory lane together, whether people know it or not, hundreds of times throughout our lives growing up. And my kids have never experienced that. My daughter was two when I won the championship, but my kids have, as they can remember, have never got to stand in victory lane with dad. So one of my reasons I want to come back here was to try to win and give them those memories. So tonight was a start for that.
Go to Matt.
Matt Weaver, Sportsnet. Bob actually took the thunder there on one question I was going to ask you about, obviously having kids and what difference that makes them being older and having a son now too. But my other question I had for you is, you know, your other national touring win, that was the championship win that closed out the season. You've never been in a situation to where you've won, obviously, early in the season, and the ways that could transform a season. It takes some of the edge off the fact that you guys can go, you know, playoff points racing now. I mean, are you cognizant of that even in this moment that, hey, now this sets us up really good that we can change our approach in any way?
Yeah, man, that's a good question and something that honestly we'll probably reassess on Monday. Definitely sitting here, I can feel some weight off of me on that side. I know for this race team, you know, we kind of a slow start, right? I mean, well, we've had opportunities earlier here in the season, but we haven't necessarily put a ton of points on the board. But it looked like one of those years. Yeah, I was going to just maximize the points, try to point our way in. If opportunity arose as the weeks progressed to win, then we tried to capitalize on it. But I figured it would, honestly, the way we started the season would be a couple of weeks removed. But then as soon as we got through Homestead, I felt like some stuff clicked with me and the team in general, how we operated, how we prepped, how we executed. And then take that momentum of a top five run, just our first solid day together, and truly come to a place that they're, you know, batting 1,000 here the last two trips, winning all stages and in the races here. I mean, if there's another place that takes any momentum to, it was here. But yeah, it's definitely going to be a little bit of a different mindset. I don't think you do a whole lot of things differently. It definitely does free us up, though, to maybe try to identify some of our weaker areas that we've experienced the first couple weeks leading up to here. Be a little more aggressive on venturing down those avenues, to understanding maybe what I do want a little different than what the notebook is, because it's not like they're trying to just figure me out. I mean, Josh Graham is a crew chief trying to understand the trucks. He's trying to understand the wind tunnel data just as I am. We're all heavily, heavily invested and working day in and day out to build this program up. So, yeah, if nothing else, it lets us attack all angles a little differently now.
Trey Lyle, frontstretch.com. Daniel, first, the backflip. Did you – how confident were you –
That was reckless.
How confident were you – I know last week you weren't sure if you could do it, but how confident were you when you got in the car if you were going to do it or not?
You know, I didn't know, but I felt a lot of energy from the crowd, and I'm as guilty as anybody of feeding off that stuff. So it's like, why not? I blow a knee out here landing. I mean, it'll be okay. I've raced with them before that way. But no, so a lot of people don't know. I've had multiple knee surgeries, so it's not like there is some risk to me doing it. I've actually thought about not doing it, but like I said, I was fortunate to do a lot of those growing up through the ranks, and those times haven't been very often, right, in the NASCAR ranks. So I was going to take advantage of it. literally just about two, maybe not even 2 weeks ago, my wife in our backyard playing with our kids asked me that question. She's like, hey, I haven't asked you, like, you think you can still do that? I said, I don't know. I'm sitting here on nice, fluffy, 4-inch tall fescue grass. Let me try it. So I just did one right in the ground. So I can do it flat-footed standing there. And I was like, all right, I think I'm still in position to do it. However, I said it was reckless because when I got on top of the roof, I was way up in the air. I may owe Bill McNally a roof. Could look like caved a roof in when I jump. So all great problems to have. How about that?
And then a lot of drivers congratulated you post-race. What type of the amount of respect you get amongst the garage, both, you know, I know Blaney was there too as well, so even outside the truck garage, what does that mean to you about, like, the journey you've been through and the fact that you get this moment and a lot of people are there to offer their congratulations?
Yeah, I mean, obviously I haven't seen any of that stuff, but yeah, Blaney came out to the front stretch and super special, man, to have, if nothing else, right, no matter when this journey ends, I think when it's all said and done, I think you guys on this side of it, on y'all's side, would feel the same, like, to have the respect from your peers when all the dust settles, like, I think that's all you can ask for, right? Is that means you did something right. You made somebody feel something along the way. And for me, I've always said that I felt like, you know, there's a lot of storylines of who's got sponsorship, who doesn't, who's got these reasons or those reasons why they make it or don't make it. And at the end of the day, I've always said the people behind the scenes know. Like, the ones who know, know. And I'm looking at many faces in here that have seen my journey through and through. I've talked with Matt here down in Pensacola, Florida, after not sleeping for 2 or 3 days working on super late models, and I feel like I'm the exact same person I was then. At least I hope I am. And I think that resonates. And I respect so many of those guys at the cup level because many of them have been the exact same way, and they've been true believers in me, and it's cool to see those guys continue to have success. I don't know why exactly my journey in life has led me to this particular situation, but I've had some incredible people, you know, by the good Lord, put in my life that have continued to, you know, give me opportunities. And I feel like when you get the respect for your peers, it just makes you feel like it's gratifying to know somewhere along the way you've made somebody feel something.
I come up front here to Lee.
I'm sorry, my voice is so bad. I lost it yesterday. It's awful.
You talked about people coming to victory lane, but the fact that Ankrum came after you knocked him out of the lead, you know, what does that say about the relationship that you've already built there with him? Because I thought it was a pretty classy act on his part.
It truly was, and he is a class act. I mean, I didn't realize I'm guilty of this, right? Whenever you race in a particular series, like, I'm so immersed in that. Like, I mean, you watch the other series, but you're not truly in it. I didn't realize how much of a veteran Tyler is. I mean, he's been in truck series a long time, and I've leaned on him heavily throughout this process of how these trucks trend and how you prep for events. And him and I've had our own closed door meetings of where we feel like we're strong, where we feel like we're not as an organization. So he's helping continue to build this program forward as I'm trying to do as well. So it was really cool that it turned out to be him and I there battling it out. The biggest thing I wanted to make sure there on that last restart too with Tyler was to make sure that I didn't hit him in a spot that was going to bring other people into the mix. I wanted us both to have nice, clean 2 or 3 laps to separate. So if it came down to it, we both still could salvage really good days. And the worst thing that could happen in a situation was neither one of us ended up winning the race, right, for our team owner and our partner. So it meant a lot. It's funny. He came to victory lane, and he thought I said, are you upset? And I actually was saying, did you end up second? I couldn't, because he couldn't hear me. But, no, it was cool. And I'll see if he still takes me up on my he's supposed to road bike with me on next Tuesday. He bailed on me last week, so hopefully he'll come join me this week. He'll probably wear me out.
Go back to Matt.
Sorry, one more. This is on, I can't tell or not. Okay.
Yeah, I got you.
Sorry. As a guy that's, for the most part, throughout his career, you've always won. You've won races, you've won championships. When you go to the Cup Series and it doesn't turn out on either stint the way that you particularly would have wanted to, and then I imagine part of this decision coming back here is just wanting to be in the position to win races, compete for a championship again. One, is that low as it looks like from the outside, not being competitive for you, or is just it's all part of the journey and it's always, as you always say, heads down, fin up?
Yeah, it's definitely part of the journey. I would say, if you take all the other noise out of it, does anybody want to go compete at the highest level with their team, get on a plane 38 weeks a year, give or take? to go execute at your highest level, and that sometimes equals a 25th place result. No, that's not fun. So that side of it, yes, is low. But I found inner peace last year, and really even before that, but definitely last year. Like, you get a couple late race restarts, you run ninth at Dover, right? I mean, you run ninth at a cup race at Dover, right? And one of the toughest racetracks. Like, those were some of my heroes ran top 10 there as I grew up, right? Like, watching guys run top 10 there in cup races. So to me, it just solidified the fact that I could do it, right? And I didn't need anything else more than that. Like, I told McAnally in one of our very first conversations when we talked about possibly doing this together, I told him straight up that I will and have always desired to win on a Sunday. That will never leave me, but my season of life has led me to this situation, and I'm perfectly content. I always thought I only loved racing, and what I've identified over the last couple of years, it's not racing. It's truly just competing, and I was losing that joy because I wasn't getting to compete for race wins. I love the inner battle with myself and that process of competing with myself, but still not having that chance to experience those things as a family, the things I touched on earlier. This opportunity, this season of life led me to this moment. So, yeah, I'm in a really good place because of all that stuff.
Do we have any final questions for Daniel? I'll go back to Jacob to wrap it up.
So going back to the short track theme, there's certain trophies in short track racing that are just iconic. You've got the Tom Dawson, you've got the Martinsville Grandfather Clock, and I know this is one that you circled when you first came to NASCAR that you wanted to win. What does it mean now to have one, and do you have a place that you're going to put it?
Yeah, we definitely have a place to put it. I said back in 2021, I feel like we let two of them get away on the Xfinity side. So, yeah, there's one place, there's multiple places for them in the house. Yeah, my gosh, it is a special, special win. And just honestly, as much as the clock is going to be super cool, like, I hope somebody got a photo of me and my kids on the front stretch. Like, that means more to me than any trophy. So it's going to be cool to go through that stuff over here the next couple hours, next couple days. But hopefully it's just the beginning of many. But, yeah, definitely one to check off on the bucket list. It's good to finally get one taken home.
All right, Daniel, congratulations on the win. Thanks for joining us here tonight.
Yeah, thank y'all. Appreciate it. You might be right, Bob.